Anybody alarmed? Some of you may have heard that before. Probably most of you have not. Obviously, it was a siren. And sirens sound alarms. It was brought to my thought to use that today because Marek, at the beginning of Matins, bumped into that button, and we had the siren blowing in the, at the beginning of Matins. And it struck me, though, that we are here because an alarm needs to be sounded. And that's really the first thing that the church does. She sounds an alarm. She lets us know that there's danger lurking, that there's things to be paid attention to, that we need to take some action. Because we know that when we hear an alarm like that, at the very least, we consider the possibility, even though many of us have been through lots of alarms and drills and all those kinds of things, to where we walk through big buildings now and we hear the alarms go off and we pretty much figure, no, it's just going to be another siren. But we know that even there, we see those places where just in that recent shooting, that's what the children thought. They thought when they heard some of the things that were going on that it was just another drill. And you know, we as Christians need to be very wary of that kind of complacency, to where we think that the call of the church, that her cry out to us, is just another drill. Because for the most part, I know that at least in my lifetime, and probably for most of you who are sitting here in this church, it hasn't seemed as though there's all that much to be concerned about. And once again, at the risk of being repetitious, because I think that it's just one of those most difficult kinds of messages to have sink into our heads. I was at, in the last 2 days, two different sorts of encounters. The first one was with a person who is almost or right around the vicinity of 80 years old. And as I visited with them, I said, as I say more and more, so what are you looking forward to? What are you looking forward to? And the answer was, nothing. Now, once again, we ought to find, if we think that nothing is an answer to that question, the alarm going off. We ought to hear sirens. We ought to see red lights. If our mind, even as I asked you, or as you heard me tell of a question asked, if your mind was going to, well, yeah, what is there left when you're 80 years old? Not much, just suffering and pain and those kinds of things, and then death. And then later on, the next day, I was at a wedding. And at the wedding, where two really beautiful couple, you know, Josue Smolcik and Natasha, you know, got married. And it was quite an event. I mean, there were people from all over the world. There were even world-known people there. Famous people, people on Wikipedia, you know, that kind of thing. So it was quite an event that we were there for. And in some of their comments, what was said about what they were looking forward to was to a life of having a good time, of a party. And Father Sam, who had just been in Brazil to visit down there, said that the people in Brazil really know how to enjoy life. They know how to have a good time. They know how to have a party in the best sense of the word. And then that was all topped off not only by the bridal pair saying that they wanted their life to be like a party, to party, but also that they would like to spend their life playing PlayStation. And that's what they could envision as how their life was going to unfold, that it would be a party, it would be PlayStation. Now, at that end of it, we could say, well, they'll adjust, they'll learn. But the things that they said, and the things that the person expressed who was the near octogenarian, those things were much more similar than one might think. They had much more in common because neither was looking at all beyond this world. And for us to be Christians, and someone even pointed out to me, because the wedding yesterday was glorious. The choir was here in good numbers. They sang beautifully. Father Sam and I managed to coordinate and not to stumble over each other in terms of who's going to do what when. And everything went very well. But someone walked by who I didn't even know at the reception, especially after the beautiful dinner, the delicious dinner, with nice, lovely dinner music, which was very soothing and able to be eaten to, well, then the party began. You know, and the music that our children listen to these days, you know, and that thumping, 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 thumping beat that goes along with it began. And someone walked by me, who, as I say, I didn't even know, and said, quite a contrast, huh, Father? You know, and it is. And how much we find ourselves somehow thinking truly that that's part of something real, and that that's part of something good and useful, and that's part of something somehow even lasting. And it's not. And whether I am answering the question, so what are you looking forward to, when I'm an old person saying nothing, or whether I'm listening to young people say that life is a party and a PlayStation game, either way, I am so far off the track that I ought to be hearing alarms, I ought to be hearing sirens, I ought to be seeing flashing lights. And that is what the church calls us to do. And she doesn't call us to do it as though showing up on Sunday is going to be sufficient to either fix the broken pipes or to put out the fire. Because I can promise you that if the extent of your understanding of what it means for you to be a baptized Christian is that you show up for some of the services, even when you show up for them very faithfully and regularly, well, then I am here today to remind you, because I'm finding these things out ever increasingly myself, that that is not the case. And what we find there at the end of all this is then, so what shall I do? And the church, once again, gives us a plethora of things to do, of places to go, of matters to be paid attention to. She gives them to us all the way from the Bible to the Jesus Prayer, to reading, you know, church history, the lives of the saints, as we heard about, as we're starting to hear about even in Matins on Sunday morning. But this will all be hard work. And when we hear the "what must I do," it is a question that we should be asking ourselves all the time. Because we are creatures of habit. And we know that if our habits have offered us some level of comfort, some level of peace, some level of acceptability, boy, do we want to stay there. We would love to stay. I mean, if you imagine and think of the most peaceful time, the most joyful time, the best time of your life, don't you sometimes think, man, if I could only have stayed there, if I only could have lived there in those years forever. But what we know right after a thought like that is that is impossible. A pipe dream, a fantasy, imagination, no reality to it at all. And so the only thing that might catch my attention, that might set off the alarm, that might turn on the flashing lights, is the reality about all this. And whether the young people who I was with yesterday in their early 20s have 60 or 70 years to go, which seems like a long time, or whether the person is someone in their 80s who may have a few years or a few moments to live, the deal is the same, my friends. The situation is absolutely the same. There is no difference. There's just the perception of a little bit of a time span in one instance and very little time span in the next. Now, if I can come to understand that, then I might ask, then what should I be doing? What should I be paying attention to? Because if, as just has been described, if that's the reality of the situation, I'm in trouble. And we are left to our own devices. But we are not left to our own devices. And we are not left to a world that is designed simply for our pleasure in the flesh. In fact, it is barely designed for that at all, if at all. No, what it is designed for is the place that we come into being as creatures made by God, made in His own image and likeness, made for communion with Him, and that will require in this flesh that we act and behave in a certain way, that we pay attention and be conscious of certain things. And those things will either be life-giving and eternal, or they will be death-dealing and temporal. I'm not going to say any more. There's nothing more to be said. What you ought to be looking at is what there may be in you that is stopping you from resonating with that. That is stopping you from saying, you know what? If it is about eternity, then that can be quite exciting. That could be marvelously exciting from the time that I'm born all the way until the moment of my departure from this world, all of this can have ultimate meaning, absolute purpose, and goal to it. Which most of us, again, if we're going to go back to those other two scenarios, don't experience in life. We see it as this time running out, that somehow when it's done, and there's nothing we can do about it. And that would be, at least in one form, the message that the devil would have you believe. And so, when we believe it, we fall into that level of resignation that lets us behave as though all the things that Christ gives us in His church are not real or true. So, the suggestion would be, ask that question of yourself. Ask that question of myself. Go to the books, or if you've already been there to some degree, if you've already paid attention and worked on getting a rule of prayer together, and worked on having a spiritual, liturgical, sacramental life in the church that was once more vibrant than it is now, look and see what you must do to light that fire once more. Because we all have had that sense, at least at one time or another in our lives, when we knew that there was a God and we knew that He dwelled in us. And then it goes away. And when it goes away, that's where the work begins. Because that's where the things of this world and the stuff that we are stuffed with gets in the way of us experiencing that once more. So brothers and sisters, be brave, be courageous, push against the edge. Go to those places where you find yourself upset, disturbed, suffering some level of anguish, even maybe a little depression here or there. Go there and push on it. But don't push on it alone. Push on it in Christ. Push on it with your brothers and sisters, encouraging them also. That when we begin to pay attention to these things, when we start to ask that question, what am I looking forward to? We may also be able to hear the what must I do beginning to be answered, so that those alarms and that those lights will have not been for naught, but will have been to the glory of God and to our salvation. Amen.
Help us, save us, have mercy on us, and keep us, O God, by thy grace, wisdom, that guarded always by thy might we may ascribe glory unto thee, to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, now and ever, and unto ages of ages. Nevertheless, we find unspeakable and boundless love for mankind out of this.